Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Patrick Crane. We're here Thursday afternoon. You know, March Madness is going on. St. Patrick's Day is going on. I just dropped my partner off to a big. She took the day off of work. She's out day drinking, and you and I are here. You know, and we're going to talk about Sky Moore's Pro Day because that's where our incentives are. Everyone else in the world has different priorities, but me and you pretty much today.
It's my brother's birthday. My cousin just had a baby, but let's talk some pro days.
Yeah. I mean, literally speaking of which, Sky Moore, I saw that there's been a bunch of chatter about him because he had the fastest 10-yard and 20-yard splits of any wide receiver because now the teams have gone back. And like, you know, they have the tape and all of that data. And I saw a bunch of big draft people, you know, when big draft people, like when Matt Miller and Dane Brugler and those guys start talking about our favorite players, that's when you know it's getting good. And I've seen a lot of chatter from those sorts of people about Sky Moore over the last week.
Yeah, I think big draft Twitter, you want to pay attention to because that's going to help us determine like where these guys are actually going in the NFL draft. I feel like it's a bit closer to the actual like NFL scouting opinions, which obviously make a big difference. What's happening with Sky Moore right now feels a little bit like reverse Tyler Johnson, where we're like, we like this guy. Hope the NFL does. The NFL on Tyler Johnson, they were like, we couldn't like this guy less. Sky Moore, it seems like I'm going to have to move him up soon based on, you know, my original assumption, which is that like, okay, maybe he's a third round pick.
Yeah. That he would be a guy that we like, that some NFL team would like, but there wouldn't be fervor about him. Essentially,
no one would be trading up for Sky Moore. It feels right. Like maybe someone's trading up for Sky Moore now.
It does. It does actually feel that way. There've been a couple teams mentioned that like very specifically like him. The Lions were at the Western Michigan Pro Day. They just signed DJ Shark, but clearly I think they realize wide receiver is a need for them because I think they would like to evaluate Jared Goff for one more year, but also they would like whenever they do get a quarterback for them to not have a Trevor Lawrence situation where that guy is coming in and throwing to Laquon Treadwell.
I mean, I actually think it would make a lot of sense for them if they took Willis at 2. Then you get Sky Moore in the second round.
Well, that's not happening. Maybe it is, but I have not heard one big NFL guy suggest that's in play yet.
Well, I'm just saying if I was running the Lions, that would be like a nice setup, right? Because then you have the guy coming in probably in year 2. You can move on from Goff, I think, after the year. And to your point, you're starting to like get the offense in gear for a rookie quarterback to actually have success.
Yeah. So you told me via DM that you finally have some thoughts on some of these quarterbacks after working through them. So what are those thoughts?
Yeah, I'm still doing some more work into the class, but like my basic thoughts, I have like two basic thoughts. It's just that like I'm not ready to buy that the quarterback class is like bad, like, you know, it's kind of been said. And also I just feel like we have a long way to go in Superflex Dynasty compared to like where we got to in DFS, you know, like learning how to play the game better and everything.
Right.
You know, you're actually playing the rules of the game, playing the rules of, you know, your various tournaments, in this case, your particular leagues. It feels like we're still kind of drafting these quarterbacks a little bit too much based on their odds of real life success when we know there's a robust quarterback trade market in year 2 and 3. We know that the market's generally optimistic on anyone who flashes playmaking ability. It's generally pessimistic on quarterbacks who do not flash playmaking ability early.
Meaning running.
Well, running or throwing deep.
Just creating value in and of themselves. I mean,
yeah.
My counter to that would be, what do you think the trade market is like for Zach Wilson right now? Like I know you probably have a bunch of him, so you're probably not even trying to trade for him, but what do you think, like Derek Carr versus Zach Wilson, what do you think the price check is like on those two guys right now?
I think Wilson would be more expensive than Carr just based on job security.
I think it, I mean, that's one where it's close enough that it would very much depend on like league context, what the team needed. You know, like, you know, guy loses a quarterback and just needs a guy, you know, a third quarterback to start versus a rebuilding team that like has an extra first round pick, you know, the 108 this year or whatever.
Right. But I think Wilson's going to be worth way more than like Matt Ryan. He's going to be worth more at this point, wouldn't you think, than Baker? I mean, Baker suddenly turned into a rental.
Baker would be an asset I would be trying to trade for right now.
Yeah, I would too. I'd rather have
Baker. I would be trying, I mean, not again, it'd be very dependent on your league and how guys, you know, how close they stick to the trade charts and whatnot. But if I could ship a second and you know, I don't know, I can't think of a good like third year wide, like if I could ship a second and I don't know who's Mecole Hardman, a second and Mecole Hardman.
I don't think that gets it done. Cause that's the other thing about these super flex leagues is that like every quarterback's super expensive. I tried to trade for Cam Newton in a league where I actually ended up winning it. I won it the year before and then I ended up winning it this year, but I'm super thin at quarterback and was trying to trade like a second for Cam Newton before the 2021 season. And that didn't do it. So I think that's another reason why, you know, it's like if all quarterbacks are expensive and the rookies have insulated value and are easy to move and you're really like all that really matters in terms of this quarterback scoring is trying to fill a position. You need a starter in that spot.
Yeah. Which is really all you need if you're not trading for one of the absolute best guys. Like the difference between like Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr is so low, like it's like a point and a half per game or whatever over the course of a season. Like it doesn't matter.
Exactly. So why wouldn't we just always be shooting for the guy that can be, you know, the 103 or the 104 in a startup in a year or two? Like, why wouldn't we just always be swinging for the ceiling on these quarterbacks? Because it's like, you can, like Trey Lance looked bad. It doesn't seem like the 49ers are really that committed to like even starting him this year, but they're kind of boxed in. There's a very high likelihood they will go into training camp with Trey Lance as their starter. As soon as that is confirmed, he's going to be worth
it. Is it though? I mean, what's the market like for a Jimmy Garoppolo trade right now? It seems like there's not an active market.
It's basically Indianapolis. Yeah, I suppose there's a chance. Yeah, you could get like the absolute worst outcome with Lance.
But Indianapolis might just call Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Or Nick Foles. I mean, because they spend the first round pick. I mean, what is it going to take to acquire Jimmy Garoppolo? I said earlier in the offseason, they're not trading him for less than a first round pick. And I don't think they will. I don't think you trade the Carson Wentz package for Jimmy Garoppolo at this point.
Yeah. What'd they get? They got a second and a fourth.
Second and a pick that's likely to convey as a third is the way is okay. I believe the language of it. I think it's like the same as his Eagles deal. It's like 70% of the snaps or something like that, if I remember correctly.
We'll see. John Lynch was talking at the combine about like how Trey Lance is about to get a shot. And like, they're pretty open about like, we're moving forward with Trey Lance as a quarterback. I know it could go wrong, but it's kind of like this thing where obviously let's say he's
the QB8 on Underdog right now.
Right.
That feels like overconfidence by the market to me.
I mean, that's a very fair take, but my point is basically like, it doesn't like the market is just like kind of predictable in that it's going to be overconfident on the guys who are rushers and throw deep. Anyway, the long way of saying like, why aren't we more excited about Malik Willis? Malik Willis seems like he could be an absolute.
He's my 101 in Superflex.
Yeah.
I have him ranked ahead of Burks and ahead of Breece Hall.
I'm with you now. I was kind of like hemming and hawing about like, oh, maybe this isn't the year to take a quarterback 101 in Superflex. Like, Willis is going to be easy to trade off of next year. And it's not hard to imagine him scoring like 25, 26 points per game or whatever, you know. I mean, he could score more than that if he has an awesome season.
That's a lot. What did Herbert average last year, points per game?
Probably 23, 24.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Especially because he's going to go to a pretty bad team to begin with. And
I don't mean this year. I don't mean this year.
Oh, just
I mean
like just like eventually.
Yeah, I'm talking about like what he turns into as an NFL player.
Yeah. I mean, I see it. Now, obviously, I think there's going to be a big difference in pre and post draft ADP because there are so many good teams that need a wide receiver right now. Mm-hmm. And if Treylon Burks goes to any of them, I could see him being the 101. Like, so for example, I have one draft that is, it's Scott Barrett's league, and we do the draft before the NFL draft. And I have the 101 in that. And I have Dak Prescott, I have Justin Fields, and I have a bunch of like Trubisky, Dalton type guys who, you know, will probably get a couple spot starts over the course of the season. And I am pretty, I don't know what I want to do between Malik Willis and Treylon Burks in that league.
Yeah. Looking up the points, Herbert had 25.6 last year. Allen had 27. This is FFPC scoring, which is a little bit lighter than some scoring systems. But yeah, I think I'd still be Willis just for the upside of like you get like Jalen Hurts had 23.2 in FFPC last year, so like Jalen Hurts isn't that good.
Yeah,
you know, he's really not, and it's a team that's very conservative for the second half of the season, not passing a ton. Overall, like not a great situation.
Yeah, I played him in cash against the Lions. I won't forget how conservative they were.
And I think the worst thing about Hurts is job security. And it's like he was a former second round pick. The team isn't like completely tied to him. But Willis is going to be, sounds like a top 10 pick, maybe top 15, but he's going to be a high pick. So someone's going to be tied to him for, I'd say, a minimum of 3 seasons. And that you're going to feel better about that. Yeah. Maybe in year one, he sits completely. Maybe it's a Lance situation, or Mahomes situation, but I think once he gets on the field, he's going to be scoring a lot of points.
If I tell you that Burks goes to the Bills or the Cowboys with 100% certainty, does that move him into the 101 for you?
God, I don't think so. I don't think so because like, I mean, maybe if the Lions take Willis and which, you know, like you, to your point, that's probably not gonna happen, but let's say they take him and they're like, we're sitting behind Goff and Dan Campbell's gonna be our coach next year. Then maybe it's like, man, I got a opportunity cost, you know, not getting any scoring out of this position for a year. Like maybe, but my general feeling is like, okay, let's say you have a quarterback on your roster like Tannehill. Take Willis and trade Tannehill for a wide receiver. Like Willis eventually is probably going to be worth more than Burks. You're going to be able to trade Willis in probably 2 years for whichever wide receiver you want in the entire league, just based on the way these startup ADPs tend to work or the way the trade market tends to be. I mean, the trade market tends to be the quarterbacks tend to be more expensive than in the startups even. So, think I'd still lean Willis unless like something.
Oh, trying to trade for a quarterback in these super flex leagues is just like, it's impossible. You just get you get the screws turned on. Like you can have, you know, great wide receivers, great running backs, but like, you know, you just fell victim to bad luck at the quarterback position or whatever. And like, I mean, honestly, it's like more cost effective to trade for like a Kyler Murray or a Dak Prescott, or even like a, you know, a Lamar or a Mahomes than it is to trade for a Kirk Cousins, a Ryan Tannehill, or whatever, because the market is just insane for them. I mean, you got to trade a high asset, like a good wide receiver for a quarterback or a first round pick, and like a good first.
In the auction league that we're in together. And
this trade was amazing.
Leone sent me a first and second in 2023 for Matt Ryan. And it's honestly, it's hurt our friendship. I mean, he's not happy about it. And as it turns out, I think he was kind of in a win now window. And I think he may have exited the window. So the 2023 first might actually be pretty early.
You're just running so pure in this league. You're running so good. Leone decides to enter the tank in a year in which he doesn't own his own first. He trades away Derrick Henry, Tyreek Hill, Aaron Rodgers, and Dalton Schultz for all of Sean Siegel's picks, all of them, first through fourth for 2 years. But these are not even good picks, right? Because Sean's team is incredible, and he is.
Yeah, Sean's team's great.
Sean's team is shockingly already great. And he's adding Aaron Rodgers, Derrick Henry, Tyreek Hill, and Dalton Schultz to those points. And I think Claypool was like the one guy that he lost. And I'm just like bemoaning Leone making this trade in our chat, because I'm like, it's because I'm tanking too. You and I are kind of in these tank wars, and now we have another team entering into the tank war, but he's benefiting you.
But I own his picks. Yeah. Welcome, the water's warm, Leonie.
Yeah, I have Amico's picks, and now Amico is mega incentivized to go for it this year because he's really only competing against two other. It's so frustrating. I'm running like unbelievably bad in this spot, and I had Henry Ruggs, who killed someone, and I took Clyde Edwards-Helaire over CeeDee Lamb, which was self-inflicted.
Well, I took Rager over probably a bunch of great, I assume Jefferson, just to, yeah. Let's not even talk about it.
Yeah. So I guess we've had, you know, a fair amount of free agency movement. What do you make of what the Jaguars are doing here with adding Kirk and Ingram? Zay Jones is like completely immaterial. He's barely going to play. I guess what it does tell us is that Visca might be on a different team next season, which is sort of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it's a really tough scene for Visca, because you're looking at like just straight up not enough routes for him. Kirk is,
he's not even going to play.
Yeah. Kirk, you know, when the signing happened, I was like, all right, it's not that bad. Kirk is pretty versatile, and he's not, the money's ridiculous, but like, I understand wanting to bring him in. But I was looking at it, and he's really a slot guy, I think. You know, last year was his strongest year. He was in the slot. He was in the slot as a rookie. He had those two middle years where he was playing on the outside. It wasn't all that good. And then last year you actually had, they were playing Wesley and AJ Green on the outside so that they could keep Kirk in the slots. One of the reasons we didn't see much Rondale Moore last year, which I think was actually, you know, I don't want to say sharp, but it was like, it made sense to some degree to prioritize Christian Kirk, who was your best wide receiver at that point with Hopkins out, you know, prioritizing what he does well. So I have to imagine that Kirk is in the slot. It's a lot to pay for a slot wide receiver. So I don't know.
Maybe not in the new paradigm of the NFL though. Right. I mean, the best wide receiver in the NFL was a slot wide receiver last year.
I guess. I don't think they're going to be same level of offense though.
Well, it did almost cost them in the Super Bowl though. Right. Cup had a harder time getting open in that game than he had pretty much all year until the second half. He had 3 for 40 in the first half or something like that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
it
sounds right.
It was Odell who was making it all work before he tore his ACL.
Yeah, and Odell, I like the way they changed Odell up so that he was like more of an outside possession receiver, which I thought you know he would have had a big game had he not torn his ACL. But in Kirk's favor, he doesn't need to leave the field when he's not in the slot, so it's not like. He's not like a guy who's going to be running 70, 75% of the routes or something. He'll be out there 90% plus. But, you know, it's still not ideal. And then you bring in Zay Jones as this field stretcher. Like, I'd rather have Marvin Jones still than Zay Jones. So,
well, I mean, Marvin Jones is still on the team. He's not going anywhere.
Right. Yeah, but are you, so what your three wide receiver set is Zay, Marvin, and Christian Kirk?
And Christian Kirk.
And
Evan Ingram when it's a passing situation and Luke Farrell or Dan Arnold when it's early downs. Kind of interested in Evan Ingram, actually.
Yeah, I kind of like the Evan Ingram signing because he was getting used like Jason Witten.
I thought that was a good signing and he told reporters that the reason why he wanted to go to Jacksonville was because Doug Peterson, you know, pretty much made Zach Ertz a completely immobile, catch and fall down guy. like, I mean, he made him an all-pro. Like, he did everything for that guy. So I'm pretty interested in that because his offense does use the tight ends a bunch.
Yeah, I kind of like Ingram. And we also have, you know, some previous examples of guys emerging at the tight end position on second contracts, second teams, like Jared Cook, Eric Ebron. I mean, these are basically like guys who kind of washed out of their first teams to some extent. And then, you know, became kind of more exclusive pass catchers later on. And that worked just fine. So I could see that for Ingram. I think he was, I mean, almost inarguable he was misused on the Giants.
Well, everyone was misused on the Giants.
Yeah. Didn't click with Daniel Jones. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he definitely likes to throw to the tight end. He did last year anyway. So I think overall it's kind of like I'm weirdly bullish on Evan Ingram. I'm with you.
I'm just going through the free agency tracker on NBC Sports Edge right now, and I'm seeing that the New England Patriots signed Ty Montgomery to a contract that could be worth as much as $4 million, which makes me feel so bearish on Ramondre Stevenson. The fact that James White re-signed and they added Ty Montgomery, like Ramondre is the and I think Brandon Bolden signed with the Raiders, so Montgomery is just taking his spot whatever. I believe that's true. I will Google that real quick, but
Bolden was actually awesome in yards per out run last year, which is one of the weirder.
Raiders are expected to sign Brandon Bolden. So
I think Bolden's that's better than James White leaving or James White coming back is bad. Do you disagree with that?
I mean, I think the Bolden stuff was such a, that, you know, that so much just came out of necessity of Ramondre and Harris not being ready in pass protection and needing a really good pass protection back for their rookie quarterback, as opposed to like Brandon Bolden being really good. Like I would expect Ramondre to be improved and to have more trust. Cause remember how bad Ramondre's season started with the fumbles and he got benched and they were, who's the guy from Arizona State. I can't just JJ Taylor. Yeah.
JJ Taylor. Yeah.
So they were making him active over Ramondre for like the first month of the season after that fumble. But I was like I was coming into the season thinking I'm going to be really bullish on Ramondre, and the combination of James White re-signing and them having another passing down back on the roster does make me feel less bullish for sure. I think.
Yeah. Bolden was just like the super trusted guy. He's been on the team forever. Big time special teams contributor. He's not going to screw anything up. But if he was back, I mean, he's just like, they can always just like turn to him in those scenarios. White's 30 years old. Bolden's actually 32, but White's 30 years old. Ty Montgomery's 29 years old. I guess it is a problem if they're just going to have a three-way committee, but I mean, the thing that's intriguing about Ramondre is like, not even with the receiving so much as just like the 1-2 punch as a rusher. I mean, he showed really well, very elusive as a rusher, got size. Damian Harris played really well last year too. Great breakaway ability. But you know, we saw that bully ball mentality. They kind of came into their own with that last year. So I still think that Stevenson has like, you know, it's pretty interesting as like a committee guy who's got a couple different paths. It's basically the same case as last year, but now we know that he's good.
What would you make of Jarvis Landry signing with the Kansas City Chiefs? That's kind of the rumor du jour right now is that because they won't have to pay him that much because he is getting that money from the Browns anyway, so he could sign a cheaper deal that they could fit into their cap. What would you make of that?
I'd love that. I think that's exactly what they need. They need like a reliable professional wide receiver. He had over 2 yards per route run in 2019 and 2020, fell off last year, but he wasn't that bad. I think it was like 1.78 off the top of my head. And you know, that was in a pretty bad situation with Baker Mayfield struggling through them.
Yeah.
So he's not that old. He's got like a very specific skill set, but one that I think absolutely suits what they need. He's going to be playing that Sammy Watkins role. I kind of feel like it's a perfect fit.
Yeah. I mean, he's certainly better than giving any snaps to DeMarcus Robinson. I mean, but I mean, like Landry is a guy you could acquire for nothing. I mean, I tried to trade Jarvis Landry away for like bad second round picks in some leagues last year and got no bites. So I don't, I think you could get him for extremely cheap right now. And maybe even in the same off season, you know, trade a pick for him and then get a better pick for him, like just within the next 6 months or whatever.
Yeah, I like that. He's going to be productive if he's on the Chiefs. And if he's not, he might be on the Falcons where he could just like get a ton of targets. I mean, he might be on the Falcons and then they get Watson. That would be, that'd be pretty big.
Yeah. So wait, I guess we got, do we have to eat crow on Russell Gage? Is Russell Gage going to get like,
he
like,
was pretty good last year.
Is he going to get like 110 targets from Tom Brady?
I think he's like long-term going to be in the Antonio Brown role where, because the one thing that impressed me, last year was that he only played about half of snaps in the slot. So you're looking at him probably on the outside in three wide receiver sets once Godwin's back. And then he would, I imagine, rotate out some so they can get guys like Perriman on the field to stretch the field and stuff. But I think he's probably be a capable number three, like a capable Z wide receiver with, you know, Mike Evans at the X and Chris Godwin in the slot. So that'll be okay. And then he'll probably play the slot until Godwin's back. So he's
he's
probably worth something. It's gross, but
it's really gross.
He was also very efficient last year. I mean, a lot of that's just because he was able to earn targets with no one else to compete with. But like I was saying this on Ship Chasing last night, like, you know, when there weren't any wide receivers on the Lions, we're like, I guess Khalif Raymond's going to get the targets. And then he didn't, you know, they went somewhere else. You know, it's like there's no, all the Titans wide receivers are hurt. I guess like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is going to get all the targets. Like, nope, they went somewhere else. Like, even when there's like seemingly no competition, still consolidating a ton of targets is impressive to a degree. Like, it means you're not like truly just a guy, which is,
yeah, not everyone can be Amon-Ra St. Brown, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What do we, dude. Everyone knew this was coming. Chase Edmonds signs the 2-year, $12 million deal with the Dolphins, and everyone knows there's another running back coming into that backfield. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, Raheem Mostert added to the roster. If the price remains like conscionable on him, I probably won't take him a ton in managed leagues, but in underdog, I'm gonna be drafting the shit out of Raheem Mostert. Like, why not? I mean, this is so, and especially because now that they sign these two guys, way less likely that they take Breece Hall, Isaiah Spiller, mm-hmm,
exactly,
Kenneth Walker. Yeah, way less likely they take one of those guys now.
So I didn't mention this on the Jaguars thing, but I think the worst part about particularly the Zay Jones signing is that following Kirk plus Jones, the Jaguars now, I think you have to say, are much less likely to draft a wide receiver in a class that's deep.
They'll take one, but they're going to take like David Bell or something. Like, they're taking a guy in the fourth or fifth round, probably.
Right. Where they should be taking a guy in the second round, right? They should be taking a guy pick 33, but now they're much less likely to do that. Just from a team building perspective, anything that boxes you out of strength of the draft and also weren't good signings in the first place is just like horrific, horrific team management. It's kind of the opposite case in Miami, where Chase Edmonds is a capable back. They didn't, you know, overpay, I don't think, in a big way. Raheem Mostert's on a 1-year deal. He's older, but like if he's got anything left in the tank, he could be great for you. And it boxes you out of a running back class that has some guys at the top, but we know those guys are going to go too high in the NFL draft relative to the value of the position. And then it's not deep. The running back class is not deep this year really at all.
No.
I like Rashad White, but I mean, he could be like maybe a late second round pick or a third round pick. I don't know that he's going to be the type of guy you're going to get in the fourth or fifth round. So now you're looking at maybe like a guy like Kyron Williams because of his athletic questions. Maybe he's there, but there's not much beyond that. And maybe he's not the type of guy they want anyway. So I think it makes just so much sense to get like capable guys in pretty cheap prices
that already know the system. I mean, most are already know the system. He knows the plays. He knows the zone blocking. Like, he's not going to have to learn anything. That's so big for them, I think. Like, I think he's going to get, I would actually not be surprised if he and Edmonds are both healthy for 17 games if Mostert gets more touches. I don't think.
So we were wondering last night if does the ADP end up pretty similar to last year where if you look at Edmonds and Connor, like does Edmonds kind of have a similar ADP and then Mostert's Connor, or is it more like
it'll be much more like that. Cause Connor, okay. Connor was like cheap. I don't think either of them, especially if they do anything with the offensive line, you know, if they you know, draft someone, add some, you're asking the wrong person. If you want me to analyze free agency signing for the offensive line, like, I don't know. I know the guys.
Here's how I'm going to analyze it. Anything is good. They were the worst offensive line in the league last year. Anything new is good.
Yeah. Anything new is definitely good. I'm completely with you on that. But I mean, and Mostert is just like the classic, like he's the classic best ball running back, you know, like he can get 8 carries and score a 75-yard touchdown. And like, that's fine, you know?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. So you think he's going to be worth like an 8th round pick? I think he might be later than that because
I was going to say, I bet he'll start cheaper than that, especially because we won't see him, you know, because I mean, maybe he gets back for some preseason action, but probably not. Although, you know, I suppose there is a chance that his ACL recovery does not go that smoothly. And maybe there is a negative, you know, like we get a bad report on his ACL or something. And maybe he maybe ends up on PUP or whatever. I don't think so, but it could happen.
He turns 30 in April. So any kind of old
for a running back.
Yeah, it's pretty old, you know, and he's a speed back. So if he's like an 8th round pick, I think I'm out. But if he's like a 10th round pick, 11th round pick, I'm in.
Yeah. Do you have any interest in any of these tight ends who just signed deals? Tyler Conklin, OJ Howard. OJ Howard to the Bills is a little interesting to me. They gave Conklin and Uzumah a bunch of money for the Jets, suggesting that they want to run more 12 personnel. And the Jets tight ends like randomly, like were actually involved in the offense last season. I don't even remember. Tyler Croft was a name we were discussing for DFS. Yeah, Tyler Croft. Like that.
Yeah. Uzumah, I don't think is very interesting because like I wasn't that interested before they signed Conklin. You know,
right?
He doesn't draw targets. I think pretty much a product of his environment. Now his environment is the Jets. So I'm out on Uzumah. I could see Mo Alie-Cox being somewhat interesting. Gets re-signed in Indianapolis, but they obviously need to figure out who their quarterback is. I'm not that in on Conklin. He was okay last year, but again, kind of like just being like the only guy. He had 1.24 yards per route run, which isn't like terrible, but I think that's about to maybe get cut in half given that he's splitting reps with, you know, if it's 2 tight end sets, it's like the ability to earn a target is going to be harder. So yeah, none of these guys are that interesting. OJ Howard, I feel like more cannibalizes Dawson Knox than is going to have value in his own right. If they were to actually move to OJ Howard, he'd be pretty interesting, but Knox, I think, has earned kind of more respect than that from the team. So I think he's probably going to bump Knox's rats down to like 70%. OJ Howard would probably be around 40%, and that's not really enough for either guy to be.
That's the thing is Knox, Knox was doing a lot. Like basically he was earning a ton of value via touchdowns and just playing like every snap at tight end because his backup was Tommy Sweeney, who's basically a fancy right tackle, like a right tackle who can run a little bit. So having a pass catcher behind him, I think is sneakily sort of bad. Now OJ Howard might not endear himself to the coaching staff and be the loser that he's been for the last 2 years anyway, but it is, I don't view it as great for him at all. The Bills are super interesting.
It's a fragile situation when you have all the routes. Like obviously it's a good situation, but there's not very many tight ends that ever get to that point
that hold on to that.
Yeah. And especially if you weren't very efficient in that role, which Knox wasn't. So it's just like, man, you're holding on for dear life, bringing a capable veteran like OJ Howard. I don't think that sticks.
What do you think they do? So they officially cut Cole Beasley. They re-sign Isaiah McKenzie. I have not heard anyone say anything about Manny Sanders. So I assume that that means he's either retired or done or whatever. You know, maybe he resurfaces with the Titans in week 7 or something like that. But and you know, Jake Kumerow and guys like that, I don't think factor in at all. I mean, if they don't add anyone else and they go into the season with McKenzie as their third wide receiver, it feels like he is going to be a guy who gets shit tons of helium in what is a very fragile situation, though, because they could just add anybody at any time.
Yeah, although, I mean, if he gets to training camp as the third guy, I think I'm in on the helium. And certainly yeah, worth taking now.
If they don't draft anyone, which they, I mean, they probably will, but you know, they got lots of needs as a team, although they just gave 33-year-old Von Miller the absolute bag. I thought that people were defending it like it's only 3 years. And I'm like, I don't know, you still paid a 33-year-old guy like $45 million? Feels like a lot.
I think Kyle Dvorak had the stat of it's the second $100 million contract that he signed in his career, which is just bananas.
That's so gnarly. Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the situation though with the Bills is maybe a little less fragile than other people do because they run so many 4 wide receiver sets, you know, and that, you know, it's likely now that they are going to be adding a rookie if they add a wide receiver. So I don't know. I think take your stabs on McKenzie. If they don't sign anybody, then he could really shoot up. And what if they sign somebody, but that person is a clear outside wide receiver?
Yeah.
What if it's Olave? Olave's not going to play in the slot.
Well, then Diggs can play. I mean, Diggs can play in the slot too, right?
That's true. Diggs could play in the slot. Yeah. But I think you'll see a lot of 4 wide receiver sets. You did last year, you did the year before. It's very similar, you know, offensive. Who's the guy they kept? Is it Dorsey? The Josh Allen campaign to keep a coach who's now the OC.
Dorsey sounds right. I don't know for sure.
Daboll tried to poach him and Josh Allen campaigned to keep him and they kept him. So it's going to be the same offense. And, you know, I think in some ways the McKissick signing also probably signals that they're right. Cause McKissick played a decent amount in the slot. I think, you know, potentially gives you some more versatility. Like,
yeah, but he bailed
flexing,
dude,
into the slot. I know he bailed, but just from like a, what is this team trying to do?
Schematic. Yeah. Yeah.
Schematically. I mean, just all signals to like the pass trying to be like more flexible, more versatile, probably, you know, mixing, being able to like audible.
I wonder if that signals that the Bills are in the market for a running back in the draft because they know Singletary is not a guy they want playing 90% of the snaps.
White there would be so good.
What about Pierre Strong? You in on Pierre Strong?
No, there's like a million guys. I'm in on Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, Isaiah Spiller, and Rashad White. And I'm like,
didn't James Cook catch a bunch of passes?
I'm not really in on James Cook.
I don't know much about him other than that. He caught a bunch of passes.
It's like a bunch of guys who basically look like Paul Perkins.
Oh man. Only true Rotoviz OGs. Remember Paul Perkins?
It's like a million Paul Perkins in this class plus. And maybe one of them isn't Paul Perkins. Maybe one of them's like Devontae Booker, you know, but I just don't think there's that many good kind of second tier running backs in this class.
Yeah. Let's see here. What else is interesting? Have any personnel moves really made you interested? I did see that Byron Pringle is like, he's an unrestricted free agent and the team didn't just immediately re-sign him. So he's out blowing in the wind right now, exploring the market, which would be fascinating if he's gone, DeMarcus Robinson is gone, and they don't get any of these veteran wide receivers, like if Smith-Schuster, Jarvis Landry, Allen Robinson, you know, so on and so forth, none of those guys come in. What do they do? I mean, literally, what do they do?
They have to. I mean, Crowder's available. Like, they have to get somebody. God,
Jamison Crowder on the Chiefs would be so fucking depressing. I mean, that would be that would be peak, like, coping. Like, every time I click Jamison Crowder on a draft, I would just be like, this sucks. Like, Jamison Crowder going ahead of Mecole Hardman and getting more targets than Mecole Hardman would just really bum me out.
But you know that's what would happen. I mean, they need a capable third option. And
yeah, I mean, Mecole
Hardman
not,
can be a field stretcher.
It's not going to work to throw 55% of your passes to a 33-year-old and a 28-year-old and expect them to hold up for 17 games right. plus the postseason. Yeah.
Right. Plus, wouldn't it be nice to get like Tyreek Hill back to stretching the field, and then you make teams pay for
instead of giving him 17 short targets where he immediately jumps back and loses yards anyway?
Exactly. Yeah. You don't need him to have a 32% target share. Like, get him going down the field again. I actually think Jameson Crowder would be like a totally fine signing there. It'd be like a worse version of the Landry signing.
I mean, it would be way better for them to draft George Pickens, though.
Why can't you do both?
Imagine. Oh, man. If Pickens...
That would be pretty nice.
If George Pickens gets drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs in the second round of the NFL draft, he's like my 106. I'm going to be so in. Yeah, it's going to be unbelievable.
I mean, I think we're going to start talking about, like, I know this sounds crazy because the draft's so funny because, like, we all know, like, it's very, very unpredictable. Then we also get, like, super locked into the order that these guys have to go in. But, yeah. Like, George Pickens on the Chiefs, wouldn't we start to think about him over, like, a Drake London?
Oh, I would. You know? I already yeah. hate Drake London.
So, I mean, I think you're gonna see some jumps in. Maybe it's not London. Maybe it's, like, maybe...
Olave,
you know,
maybe
the Lions bury one of the good. Maybe the Lions bury Treylon Burks, and we have to take George Pickens over him.
That would be a bummer. The Lions taking Treylon Burks would be a bummer. So would the dude if the Eagles take one of these wide receivers we really like. That's going to be a bummer. I mean, they need to, and I wouldn't fault them for it. But obviously, it's just like such a bad spot. It's just such a bad spot for fantasy value. It's like the target tree. You're not going to be number one because Devonta Smith and Goddard are probably ahead of you, and there's going to be like 24 pass attempts per game.
Yeah, I think the second part is more concerning for me, where the fact that like Devonta Smith, I mean, he had some serious red flags on his profile. He has the amazing season, the Heisman winning season, but it's his fourth season, which we know, you know, has basically been the thing, which is like fooled NFL teams more than any other, an awesome fourth year or fifth year season. And then the tight end is the number one target on the team in his rookie year. He wasn't bad. He wasn't bad as a rookie, but like, I don't know. If like Garrett Wilson went there, I think Garrett Wilson's better than Devontae Smith. Like, I think he will eventually usurp Devontae Smith if he goes there.
What did you make of the DJ Shark signing, the 1 year, $10 million deal to the Lions? I thought it was pretty interesting. One, because the Jaguars didn't offer him the same deal. Like, I'd rather have DJ Shark than Zay Jones.
Oh my God. Like a million times over.
Yeah. And I think
Zay Jones wasn't very good last year, and he like came back from the dead. Like, what?
Well, and I think the prove it deal that Shark was willing to take is pretty interesting, because I think there's like a decent chance that he does actually prove it. Like Smith Schuster took the prove it deal and didn't prove it. Right. And has no market now. But I actually think there's a reasonable chance that Shark takes a prove it deal and earns himself 4 years, $45 million or whatever from some team. Like I know people are like, you know, Shark's been bad. He had like four good games in his career and like, you know, whatever. I don't really care. I think he might be good and just played it on lots of bad teams.
I agree with you, but I think this was the worst possible place he could have gone for a prove it deal. I mean, Jared Goff's deep threat is not how you get paid.
Correct. Yeah. Not great.
No, I think a pretty smart real life signing. I'm kind of shocked that like Zay Jones should have gone to the Lions as a pure field stretcher on a 1 year deal. And DJ Shark should have signed the Zay Jones deal. Like, I truly don't get it. I know that he's dealing with the ankle injury and everything, pretty serious injury, but like, if he doesn't recover well from his injury, then he might only be a little bit better than Zay Jones. If he recovers well from his injury, he will be much better than Zay Jones. Like, I do think that's kind of the range of outcomes. Not to just like, you know, slam Zay Jones, but like, Zay Jones has never really played well.
No, the Zay Jones signing is horrible. I mean, it's bulky at his bulkiest, right? I mean, it's just bad. There's just no, it's just terrible. So bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Kirk contract is not great either, right?
No, I mean, it's not.
And I guess the argument that I heard was that the Jaguars suck. No one wants to go play for the Jaguars anyway. So to get anyone competent, they have to overpay for them, which is a little convincing to me. That is a little convincing to me that the Jaguars are actually just so bad that to get competent players, that because this happens in the NBA all the time. It's like, you know, not every team needs a max contract guy, but sometimes they just want a good player who's above their station, who wouldn't come to them for a more, you know, fair market deal or whatever. So they just way overpay them. It's like Christian Kirk's not a bad player. He's just not a $21 million a year player.
Yeah. The issue though, is that you do have Trevor Lawrence on a rookie contract, and like, you should be able to attract some players. And like, let's say he's better in Peterson's system than he was last. I mean, let's hope. At that point, like, are you not able to spend next year because you just like completely spent all your money on these bad contracts? And maybe they'll have more to spend next year, but it does kind of start to box you in a little bit, where like, you just spent all this money on Christian Kirk
and
he's not a number one wide receiver. Like, he's Christian Kirk is a very solid, I mean, he's a great number three option. He's a great number three option.
Yeah. Really good number three. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
He's a solid number two option, and he is a bad number one option. So you need to find a number one option now. You're less likely to draft someone. I mean, if they draft a wide receiver at 33, I think we're probably being too hard on them if they draft a wide receiver. If their plan right now is just throw money at the problem and draft a wide receiver. Okay. I still think you're overspending, but like, I can get behind it to an extent. If the plan is throw money at the problem, now we're done, we fixed it, it's one of the worst plans I've ever seen. So it's like hard to balance those, because we don't know how they're actually thinking, but we're you know, if we're averaging them, you're complete idiots versus wouldn't be what I would do, but defensible. You know, we're probably being too hard on them if it ends up being that, you know, they're also going to take a wide receiver 33.
Yeah, we'll end up finding out. Also, somehow we talked about Christian Kirk a bunch, but we didn't talk about our guy, Rondale Moore, who has no obstacles to playing time now, right? I mean, is AJ Green still on the roster? I guess I should know that. I
think he's a free agent.
AJ Green is a free agent. Have not heard any movement on him return. It would be weird if he did return to the Cardinals. I mean, you can never put it past Cliff, but basically Antoine Wesley is the only guy keeping Rondale Moore from being the primary second wide receiver on that team. Did Zach Ertz re-sign with the Cardinals?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. What where are we going to get to take Zach Ertz this year? Where is Ertz Gerald going on Underdog right now? Let's see. Let's go. Yeah. Oh man. And now he's on the Cardinals. Like, it makes the Ertz Gerald argument like so much better.
He's Ertz Gerald.
Okay. Zach Ertz is going as the tight end 13 at 125. Easy money.
That's too late.
He's literally turning in 75 catches, 800 yards, and 5 touchdowns again. Like, just make your peace with it.
Tight end is a gross position. It does, like, let's take a gross guy in a good spot and make some money this year.
That stat line that I just said for Zach Ertz was so startlingly close to what he just did. 74, 7, 763, and 5. So I was not looking. Hand to God, everyone listening to this show, I was not looking. I had no idea what Zach Ertz's statistics actually were. And I was just, I was almost spot on the nose.
I can confirm the shocked look in Davis's eyes when he actually did pull it up and went, oh my God, that's like exactly what I guessed.
Yeah. So the question is, can Rondale be better than that? Can Rondale top all of those marks with a couple, especially for best ball stuff, with a couple huge splash weeks where, I mean, he did it once already. He scored the 70-yard touchdown against Minnesota. That's like why you draft Rondale Moore, is for him to do those splash plays. Like, I don't know. It just, and especially the whole rift between Cliff and Kyler. Like, I do wonder if part of that was like, dude, you just had me throwing these old dusty guys. Like, I can't do anything with AJ Green and Antoine Wesley.
it does feel a little like Pete Carroll-esque, where like yes. Cliff just has like very set ideas of how things should go, and most of them are bad. I'm in on Moore.
Yeah.
He, you know, from the Antoine Wesley stuff, Antoine Wesley was literally keeping Moore off the field technically, because, you know, he was the third wide receiver playing ahead of Moore.
Rondale's really, going as the wide receiver 50 on underdog right now.
Oh, wow.
That feels cheap.
That's cheap. Really, it was Christian Kirk that was keeping Rondale Moore off the field, because yes. Christian Kirk was playing in the slot. Rondale Moore was just a pure slot receiver last year. Yeah. In the wild card round, he played 61% of his snaps in the slot. That's the only time he was below 70% of his snaps in the slot in any game all season. He played 76% of his snaps in the slot overall. But now he's their starting slot receiver, in the same way where it's like, well, you know, it's only Antoine Wesley. Antoine Wesley is an outside wide receiver. He's not playing in the slot. There's no other wide receiver who would conceivably play in the slot now that Kirk is gone. So, I mean, he's pretty underpriced at wide receiver 50. Also wasn't that inefficient last year. Like, he did have some moments.
No, his ADOT was just unbelievably low. Like, which is, I mean, that's to be expected from a player. You want to guess what?
I have his ADOT here, dude. Do you want to guess what
he was the lowest of anyone in the NFL by like 4 yards. It was like 1.2 or something, and the next closest was like Cole Beasley.
Dude, you are dialed in. It was 1.3.
I knew that. I had seen someone tweet. I think Levitan tweeted that at some point during the season, like, and Beasley was like 4 yards ahead of him at like 5.4 or something like that. You know what the ultimate troll would be? Like, to the point that I wouldn't even be mad, because it would be so funny, is if Cliff took Wandale.
Oh my God. That would actually be pretty funny.
It would be like I would be mad, because it was so stupid, because he took Andy Isabella and Rondale Moore, you know, consecutively, and then and then didn't play either one of them, and then tries to do it again. And I would honestly also be similarly mad if it was Olave or someone like that, or just a Garrett Wilson, just anyone else small, just any other smaller, shiftier type guy. Like, I would just be like, Cliff, what the fuck are you doing?
I actually think I think Garrett Wilson would be a pretty good fit, because he could play on the outside, but he could
do
get
the
open
stuff
on,
that Cliff wants. Yeah,
exactly. He can do intermediate stuff all day. He can be part of the horizontal raid. He would actually be like an exciting member of the horizontal raid. One of the few players in the league who I think could probably pull that off.
I mean, Rondale should have been the exciting guy in the horizontal raid. He should have been able
to play.
I know. It's just the Antoine Wesley stuff was really tilting me. It was just unbelievable. Like, how is this guy from Texas Tech, who's been a practice squad guy for 3 years, how is this guy keeping Rondale on the bench? Like, I didn't even remember who he was. Like, I didn't even remember like evaluating him as a draft prospect at all.
No, I don't think he was even like in my spreadsheet. But so I hate defending Cliff Kingsbury, but I'll do it. So he's supposed to move Christian Kirk to the outside, where he's not that great, to get Rondale Moore on the field. It's like, you know, now you got AJ Green, Christian Kirk playing out of position, and Rondale Moore. I think you'd just rather have Christian Kirk in position
doing what he does. Yeah.
I think it maybe makes sense. Maybe it doesn't make sense, because if Rondale Moore blows up this year and is really good, we're gonna be like, Cliff was an idiot. For
what were you doing? Yeah. No wonder Kyler wants to go play for the Athletics.
Right. But there's like, at least it's plausible that was actually the right move. One thing that would be interesting, what if they were to take like Jameson Williams? If this is ever not going to be the horizontal rave, this is things ever going to open up.
They need someone like that. How's their offensive line? I mean, that's probably like, because Kyler eats a lot of sacks, so I could see them not investing a ton. And I don't know if they've done anything in free. Like, again, I'm just spewing here because I don't actually know if their offensive line is any good or not. I just am thinking out loud.
Their PFF grade. I think they're like middling.
That would be, you know, if they take an offensive lineman very high, that would preclude them from these guys that we're excited about. You know, it's so interesting. This is a subtext that has been over this entire conversation and over the entire offseason, which is that most teams are playing three wide receivers as their base set now, So like wide receiver is a need for every team because almost no team has three set in stone, really good wide receivers. Like what team is set at wide receiver? Like the Bengals.
Yep.
Yeah. Like that's like
Bengals
how many
are set,
but how many teams have three guys that you're like, those guys, those are all among, you know, the best 25% of players at their position. Like not very many teams.
No. I mean, the Bucs are probably pretty set now with Gage. Gage is like a probably an above average number three wide receiver. And then they're going to get Gronk back.
Yeah.
So they're pretty set. By the way, the Cardinals 18th in pass block rating.
So they could use somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the Broncos, by the way? They're pretty set at receiver.
There you go. The Broncos. The Broncos are completely set. They have no need to draft anyone. They even have an extra guy. They could trade Tim Patrick or honestly Sutton too. I mean, they could trade. They could
you
trade
don't do
anyone.
It. I mean, just beat teams. How about that? Use really good receivers to wait
for the injury. Yeah.
Yeah.
I somehow missed this. Cedric Wilson signed with the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Officially, which just means Dallas has nothing left. I mean, the cupboard is completely bare. A pass catcher for them, they're fucked. Unless they take.
Well, aren't they taking Burks? I mean, they'll take Burks, right?
Burks is not going to be there. I don't think Burks is going to be there at 24. It's going to be pretty close. There. Let's pull up Tankathon. So
that seems like about where he goes, right?
Teams that definitively need a wide receiver pick ahead of them. Washington football team, if they don't take a wide receiver at 11, it would be catastrophic. They need a wide receiver so bad. They just spend extra draft capital on a quarterback, and their second wide receiver is Adam Humphries. You know, I mean, they got nothing, right?
And they've got a deep threat in McLaurin, so maybe they go Wilson.
Wilson. Cleveland. I mean, you trade for Amari Cooper, but you don't add, and Rashard Higgins left, by the way, so he's on the Panthers, so they don't even have their guy who's been their rotational guy for the last 5 years. He's gone.
Got Amari.
Philadelphia probably needs one, but they can probably take a round two guy or a round three guy or whatever and feel comfortable with that because they have enough bodies, at least out there, and they have Goddard.
Let's give the Browns Olave, by the way.
Okay, there
Amari
you go.
Amari and Olave works.
I don't think the Chargers will take a wide receiver. I think they could use one, but I don't think they'll take one in the first round. New Orleans is fascinating because if they're the team that ends up getting Watson, don't they need? I mean, Traquan Smith is not even on the team anymore. Like their cupboard is completely bare at wide receiver. They have Michael Thomas who hasn't played in 2 years, and that's it. I mean, Deontay Harris. Marquez Callaway.
Don't they re-sign Fuller to a one-year deal cheap so that he can play with Watson again?
Yes, but who knows? I mean, well, last we heard of Will Fuller, he was like not even – like he didn't even want to play football. Like the finger injury sounded like an excuse to put him on.
No, he shattered his finger. He had to get another surgery in the offseason. Like he like fully shattered the bone in his finger.
Okay.
It was a big deal.
Good to know. Pittsburgh probably doesn't need a wide receiver. They probably feel fine. New England desperately needs a wide receiver, but they won't take one. And if they do, it'll be the worst. You know, it'll be the they'll take David.
Yeah.
Bell.
Who would they take?
They would take someone
Jahan
small
Dotson.
And fast. Yeah. Someone
Jahan
like
Dotson.
That. Yeah.
Let's give them Jahan Dotson. That's what they're going to do. Yeah.
I mean, they need a wide receiver so bad. They are the slowest team in the NFL. It's so bad.
Dotson's got speed.
Vegas needs a wide receiver. Probably won't take one. Arizona probably is not in the market. So there we go.
Yeah.
So what? We just said three wide receivers off the board. Three teams are definitely taking one. Cleveland.
I think you're right. I think Burks probably won't get to Dallas. There's like enough teams that need one.
I mean, it feels like out of Philadelphia, the Chargers, New Orleans, and New England, it feels like someone's got to take him before they get there. Philadelphia will have three chances, by the way, to take him. From 15 to 19, they will have three opportunities to take Treylon Burks, and it does feel wild if they would skip on him all three times.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm.
But maybe they love Garrett Wilson, or maybe they love Jameson Williams.
Right. Do you
would make sense for them to be in on Williams?
Well, I've seen Williams get mocked in the first round, you know, post injury. So it'd be kind of crazy to take a guy with 20 CL over Treylon Burks, I think, but I kind of get it. Williams is exciting. All right. We just talked about all the teams that need wide receivers. We talked about the steam earlier in the podcast. Is there a chance that Sky Moore sneaks in the first round?
He kind of feels New England-y, doesn't he?
Yeah. I could see him with the Raiders.
I could see him being a Green Bay guy as well. They like to take the small school guys. They always do that at all positions. Like non-power five guys is a big thing that
Green Bay does.
Fresno State. Yeah. But I mean they just do, and they are also they are a huge, what's the word I'm looking for? Threshold team, athletic threshold team. Justice Mosqueda has told me that before, that they're just massive on the thresholds, that if guys don't fit inside their thresholds, they just don't take them.
Well, Sky Moore checks every box.
Yeah. That could be, man.
That'd be fun.
It is just one of the, and obviously, you know, we are way, because we're fantasy nerds, like we way overrate the, like we love wide receivers and we don't know shit about, you know, these D2 safeties or whatever, you know, like we just are not enamored with them. So it's so easy.
My D2 safety model is coming along.
Is coming along
next week.
So it's one of those things that's interesting because we can see all the upside cases for these wide receivers and all eight wide receivers go in the first round or whatever. And then, you know, these NFL teams don't think that way, but maybe they're starting to. I mean, this free agency market is sort of suggesting that they are starting to value wide receivers more, or maybe it's just Jacksonville also. Could just be bulky.
I think we have to give some credit to the NFL because no running backs have been signed. I mean,
is that true?
Honestly,
is that true that no running backs have been signed?
No. I mean, not literally none. Chase Edmonds was.
No one. I mean, Connor got what, $21 million?
Yeah. And we've got, but like Leonard Fournette's still around. My guy Rojo's still around. There's like a ton of running backs still sitting out there that have not signed. And there's a couple big guys I'm forgetting. But I feel like 3 or 4 years ago, honestly, they would have like been scooping up all these running backs. There wouldn't be that much Deshaun Watson news. They'd be like, we're not going to give up all of our picks for a quarterback. We got running backs to sign. So I don't know. I think some credit to the NFL for not like losing its mind on any running backs.
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon. That's another
Melvin
one.
Melvin Gordon. Yeah. Oh man, do I want Melvin Gordon to sign with anyone other than Denver? Even Kansas City, honestly, even just kill Clyde Edwards-Helaire fantasy value dead. Sign Melvin Gordon. I don't care. Just protect Javonte. I will take CEH's career effectively being over to protect Javonte Williams.
That's big, dude. That's like magnanimous.
I mean, it's dead anyways. McKinnon was at McKinnon was at fucking Patrick Mahomes' wedding, dude. Like, it's over.
Oh, no, was he?
It's over. He was. Yeah, that
was. Oh, wow.
Amico pointed that out to me, that that McKinnon was at Mahomes' wedding.
That's an incredible catch.
I mean, that, like, first off, it's an unreal catch to catch that. But also, it's just like, man, how dead could Clyde even be? I mean, it was bad before. But and what I don't know is if Clyde was there or not. Now, if Clyde was not invited and McKinnon was, that would be the funniest subtext of all time, because the only reason Clyde is even on the Chiefs is that Mahomes like literally asked for him by name.
I'm literally Googling this right now.
Patrick Mahomes' wedding.
Patrick Mahomes' wedding.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
We need to know.
He was there.
He was there. Okay.
I'm getting reports that. Breaking
news,
buddy. I believe, if this is correct, I believe CH might have been a groomsman.
Okay. All right. That's a pretty big deal.
I'm trying to confirm. I'm working with sources to confirm who the groomsmen were, but let's see if I can scroll in any of these pictures and see. You know, Kelsey was a groomsman.
That makes sense.
Yeah, we got it. We'll you know, I'll do some more digging.
Here's
on that
wedding photos.
We have
DeMarcus Robinson was there, so I don't know, maybe the guest list was
well
was
they've been
wide.
In the trenches together, so that's fine. I mean, if you're Patrick Mahomes, you're literally inviting everyone on the active roster, I think, then is what it's got to be.
Yeah
All you're right, Mahomes.
So maybe it wasn't quite
you
as
get
bullish
signed,
for...
You get signed to a $1 billion contract. Everyone's invited. You know, your old strength and conditioning coach at Texas Tech is there. Everyone's there, you know.
Yeah. All right. So McKinnon, maybe it doesn't mean much after all.
Well, no, it does. I mean, because McKinnon was just Damian Williams. Although they just actively fucked Damian Williams after he was so good for them in the Super Bowl. So maybe not. Maybe it is. Maybe I now I don't know. Maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a value. Maybe I'm back in. Where is he going? Clyde right now on Underdog is the running back 28 at 88th overall. I mean, that is picking up nickels on the street.
Yeah, I think you got to be in on that. 88th is pretty good.
88th. I mean, that is
that's eighth round.
Yeah,
really eighth round. You got to be in on that.
I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire actively sucked last year, only played in 10 games. I mean, you know, he had 700 yards and 6 touchdowns. I mean, he was fine, I guess. I don't know. I mean, he's not good, but what can you do?
He's not good. Unfortunately, you know, that was just a weak running back class. There was no other running backs.
Yeah. I do hate the imagine the Kansas City Chiefs with Jonathan Taylor, though. Like, he makes them worse. Like, they're gonna, they would be worse because they would run more. No one wants that. I promise you, all these people out here who want to see Jonathan Taylor on the Chiefs, it would not be what you want, and his fantasy value wouldn't be as good either.
I touted Derek Gore this year, so I'm inclined to disagree. Anyone who can cut forward with burst suddenly looks like a Hall of Famer on the Chiefs. So
I mean, when Derek Gore came in that one game, it was startling. It was like startling how much better he looked than, and honestly, even better than Darrell too. Because it's not like Darrell is like a great open field runner or whatever.
Darrell can like move. He can run a route and he can catch a ball. That's
yeah, it's like he's just is the most baseline competent running back on the roster. Right. But Gore can move a little bit.
Gore, I mean, imagine Jonathan Taylor instead of Gore on some of those runs. Like, I agree with you, they probably would be running too much and it would be annoying, but like, I mean, it would be fun, man.
Yeah,
it would be fun.
Well, I'm glad we got to the bottom of that, though. Like, I'm very glad that we found out that CH was in attendance and DeMarcus Robinson was in attendance, because Amico has been trying to lord that over me, that he has McKinnon in all these dynasty leagues and that he's the guy now. And I feel now that I've done the legwork, I'm less bullish on the wedding being a huge indication.
I don't think that it's a strong indicator after all.
Correct.
If it was a small wedding, I mean, a small, like friends and family wedding and Jerick McKinnon
and McKinnon was there. Yeah.
I mean, he'd be like a 10th round pick at that point. I'd be completely
in. If 100 people were there and McKinnon was one of those people, you'd have to move him up the board. I mean, no doubt. No
you'd
doubt
have
about
to.
It. Yeah.
10th might be too low.
All right. Let's get out of here. That was enough. That was enough Mahomes' wedding talk there at the end. What do the people have to look forward to from NBC Sports Edge this week?
Well, check out the free agency recaps that we've done on the podcast feed. Denny and Pat did one earlier in the week, and then I was on with Denny, Pat, and Kyle yesterday. Once the Deshaun Watson trade goes down, we're going to be doing a Twitter Spaces. Me, Kyle, and Lawrence Jackson will be doing a space together if you want to check that out. And then I'll say next Thursday, I am going to be talking the quarterback class with Danny Kelly and Rich Rebar. So that'll be a fun one. Check that out. I believe it'll go live on the feed and on Twitch, maybe YouTube at 4. So
there we go.
Check that out. Yeah.
Check it out, everyone.
I also have a free agency recap article on the site if you're into reading.
Very, very important. All right, everyone. We will, I'll be back with Pat or with someone else next week, whenever we get some more news and happenings. And everyone check out NBC Sports Edge, listen to Ship Chasing, and we'll be back next week.